Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Genesis, chapter 43, the book of Genesis 43. You can find in your bulletins an insert. On one side of the insert is an outline of this morning's message, and on the other side is the scripture reading from Genesis 43. Genesis 43, the beginning at verse 15, and I'll be reading through verse 34. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. So the men took this present, and they took double the money with them and Benjamin. They arose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Bring the men into the house and slaughter an animal and make ready, for the men are to dine with me at noon." Man did as Joseph had told him, and brought the men to Joseph's house. And the men were afraid, because they were brought to Joseph's house. And they said, "It is because of the money which was replaced in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may assault us and fall upon us to make us servants and seize our donkeys." So they went up to the steward of Joseph's house and spoke with him at the door of the house and said, "Oh, my lord, we came down the first time to buy food, and when we came to the lodging place, we opened our sacks, and there was each man's money in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. We have brought it again with us, and we have brought other money down with us to buy food. We do not know who put the money in our sacks." He replied, "Peace to you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has put treasure in your sacks for you. I received your money." Then he brought Simeon out to them. And when the man had brought the men into Joseph's house and given them water, and they had washed their feet, and when they had given their donkeys fodder, they prepared the present for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. When Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present that they had with them, and bowed down to him to the ground. And he inquired about their welfare and said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" They said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He is alive." And they bowed their heads and prostrated themselves. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? God be gracious to you, my son." Then Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother, and he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and controlling himself, he said, "Serve the food." They served him by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in amazement. Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table. But Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Thus the reading of God's word from Genesis chapter 43. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, as I talk with other pastors about their ministries, one of the common issues that we often find in counseling with people is helping them deal with unresolved guilt. People will come to their pastor for help and for counsel because something is wrong in their family or in their life. And as the counsel is given and as help is given to help them deal with a particular issue or problem that they are sharing with you, oftentimes things will get better for a while. But after a time, they come back again for more help. And in follow-up, sometimes you find that there are still other issues that have not yet been shared. Finding out things are not better until those issues are addressed or completely dealt with. A problem or a sin from the past, they're not ready to deal with yet. and a wise pastor and a wise counselor knows that you can't force such things out of a person, but God has to work in them, slowly sometimes, over time, to bring that issue to the surface, whether it be through others or other circumstances, or if their conscience bothers them, it will come forth, and their conscience needs to be cleared so their guilt and guilty conscience may go away. Well, that's what we see this morning in our text with Joseph and his brothers. We see Joseph as the agent of God, bringing about this process of reconciliation that must take place between he and his brothers. Some 20 years before, they had taken their brother Joseph and threw him into a pit because they wanted to kill him. Instead of killing him, they sold him off to Midianite traders on the way to Egypt and told their father that he had been killed by a wild animal, showing their father his coat of many colors, torn and stained in blood. 20 years later, a famine in the land has driven them to Egypt to buy food, and their conscience has been awakened. As they appeared before Joseph in previous chapters, they were accused of being spies, as they once did not like Joseph accusing him of spying on them. They were thrown into prison as they once threw Joseph into a pit. Simeon, their brother, was bound in front of them and thrown into the prison and carried away, as Joseph, their brother, had one time been bound and carried away by the traitors. When they got home, they found the money in their sacks, along with the food that they had purchased in Egypt, and it looked to their father as if they had sold their brother Simeon, leaving him in Egypt and coming home with the money and the grain, just as Joseph had once been sold by them and brought and sent to Egypt. Joseph demanded their brother Benjamin come to Egypt, and so because of the famine, they had been forced to return to Egypt once again. Their father did not want to let Benjamin go. They had great fear of the man in Egypt, who they did not know was Joseph. They recognized that as the money stayed in their sacks, their lives could be at stake. They don't know how the man of Egypt, Joseph, will respond when they return. And Simeon's life and Benjamin's life, and even their own lives may be at stake when they come back a second time to Egypt. In verse 15, we're told that they returned to Egypt and they're standing before Joseph. And the key to this entire section is the next verse, in verse 16, where Joseph gives instructions to them and to his steward, having seen Benjamin, his brother. In verse 16, we're told that when Joseph saw Benjamin, he said to the steward of his house, "Bring the men into the house and slaughter an animal and make ready, for the men are to dine with me at noon." Now keep in mind, this was not an easy thing to do. Joseph is an Egyptian. They are Hebrews. And not only that, did they have to overcome those particular differences, but also the fact that these are his brothers who had sold him off as a slave. And yet Joseph now is beginning the process of making reconciliation with them by inviting them into his house. And that's the flow of our text this morning. For as the first part of our text, verses 16 through 25, describes the brothers outside the house, the last part of our chapter, verses 26 through 34, describes what happens with Joseph and his brothers inside of Joseph's house. The house is significant in these verses because the house is the place where Joseph and his family are. the house where Joseph lives with his wife and his brothers, the house that the brothers of his are now being invited into to dine with him and to be with him and reconcile with him in that place. And so, as our text shows this morning, and I laid out for you in your outlines, there's a particular flow, a process that must take place as they move towards entering into Joseph's house. From the outside of the house, we're going to look at what takes place in terms of the brothers and what comes out of their hearts as they approach the house where Joseph is. And finally, when they enter the house and they dine with Joseph, we learn that there are still more things that must come forth. Let's look now at the first part of our text. We see that there must, first of all, be reconciliation outside the house. So we read that the steward follows Joseph's instructions in verse 17, and he makes the preparations. But the men, the brothers of Joseph, are fearful when they are told to go to Joseph's house. And their guilt, their guilty conscience, comes to the surface in verse 18. We're told they're afraid. They've been brought to Joseph's house, and right away they think the worst. It is because of the money which was replaced in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may assault us and fall upon us to make us servants and to seize our donkeys. Right away, they conclude that this is a setup, that somebody has put the money back in their sacks, that they're going to be portrayed before Joseph as dishonest men, and that Joseph, who they don't know is Joseph, is going to turn them into slaves, and they will have to serve him. You remember, that's what they did to Joseph many, many years ago. They sold him to people in Egypt to be a slave. And so the brothers respond in a way that anyone should do. They respond in such a situation with honesty, with the truth. So often when people are confronted or their guilt of something from the past is brought to the surface, they don't want to deal with it by being honest or speaking truthfully about what's happened. They try to hide the truth, or somehow they come up with a second story that makes it sound like it's not so bad. Instead of speaking honestly, they speak in a way which still hides, which still covers. Well, the brothers Joseph know need to learn to speak honestly, and he's testing them to see if they will. And so when they respond in verse 19, they respond in a way that they come to speak to the steward in such a way that it's the truth. Look at verse 19, or verse 20, I'm sorry. Oh, my Lord, we came down the first time to buy food. And when we came to the lodging place, we opened our sacks, and there was each man's money in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. We have brought it again with us, and we have brought other money down with us to buy food. We do not know who put the money in our sacks. Now, they could have tried to act like they didn't really know or that nothing had happened. They could have tried to tell some other story, because you know how this story looks. They're saying, somebody put our money back. We don't know how. It looks like, everything looks like, we took the money dishonestly, but we're telling the truth. We did not dishonestly take the money. And the steward responds to their honesty and the truth with words of peace. Look what he tells them in verse 23. Peace to you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has put treasure in your sacks for you. I received the money. Peace be to you, he tells them. He brings peace from their God and the God of their father, not the Egyptian gods, the God of their father, the covenant God. The covenant God of their father, he tells them, has put treasure in their sacks for you. I received the money. And it's true. The steward did receive the money. The men brought the money and they gave the steward the money and he received it. But Joseph, you remember, is the agent of God. Previously, the brothers had acknowledged before Joseph when he confronted them that what had happened to them, even though they didn't know Joseph understood their language, what had happened to them was the work of God. In chapter 42, as they leave Egypt and they find the money, they even say in verse 28, "What is this that God has done to us?" God is awakening their conscience. God is helping them to see about honesty and what that honesty means if they're honest and truthful with their life and what they have done. And they're forced now as brothers because of the circumstances that God has put them in to be honest, even though the honest truth they recognize may not be believed. And the response before they enter into Joseph's house to that honesty is peace. Peace from God. Now remember, as we look at the steward, we're not trying to discern whether this steward was a believer. We recognize that he is an agent of Joseph, as Joseph is an agent of God. And when he speaks to them, he speaks to them on behalf of Joseph, for Joseph knew the God of his father. And when he speaks and he tells them, "Peace to you and do not be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has put treasure in your sacks for you. I received the money." He speaks in a manner which shows them the peace and the grace of God. And the evidence to them that they are believed, that in telling the truth and be honest was the right thing, is what follows. He brought out Simeon to them. Now remember, Simeon the brother was left behind. All the brothers went back to their father in Canaan, and Simeon was tied up and locked in prison, and Joseph said that he would not be released unless they brought their brother Benjamin back to him. Now Benjamin has come with them. And the story they tell, the honest truth, the expression of peace, is followed up with evidence that they are believed and they are at peace. Simeon, their brother, is now released. And as the verses that follow in preparation for going to Joseph's house reveal, they are now in the process of reconciliation. They are brought water to clean up. Their feet are washed as they enter into the house. Fodder is given to their donkeys. They prepare their present as they approach Joseph at noon, and they've heard that they're going to eat bread there with Joseph in Joseph's house. All this takes place before they can enter in, before they're outside the house and they're about to enter into the house. They need to approach being honest, having dealt with the guilt that is on their hearts, having recognized the expression of peace and of kindness and grace as they enter in. And so, in verse 26, they've entered the house. And once again, we're reminded, first of all, and Joseph is reminded, first of all, of the past. Joseph comes home, and they brought into the house to him the present that they had with them. Remember what the present was? Jacob sent them off, we're told in chapter 43, with a little balm, with a little honey, gum, myrrh, pistachio nuts, and almonds, the same things that the Midianite traders brought from Canaan along with Joseph unto Egypt 20 years ago. Now they bring those same gifts before Joseph. As they enter into the room, they bow before the ground. remember Joseph's dream 20 years ago, that a sheath of grain that represented him would be in the middle, and the sheaves that represented his brothers, his 11 brothers, would be surrounded that one sheath, and the sheaves were bowing to Joseph's sheaf. And again, as they had bowed previously, there was one brother missing. But now Benjamin bows before them, before Joseph, to the ground. And so Joseph inquires then about their welfare. He inquires about his father and their father. Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? They answered that their father is still alive and well. And they bowed their heads once again. Then Joseph sees his brother Benjamin and speaks to them. He tells them, is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? God be gracious to you, he tells Benjamin, my son. And Joseph hurries out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother. He speaks to his brother in such a way of kindness, of grace being expressed to him. He speaks of God's grace being upon his son, his brother, his dear brother of the same mother, Benjamin. And Joseph is overcome with emotion. The emotion that we read in verses 30 through 31 is a reminder to us that yes, this is about family. That yes, Joseph is second in command of Egypt, second to the Pharaoh. That yes, they are Hebrew brothers, but they still are family. And in particular, his brother Benjamin, his dear brother Benjamin, is family. Joseph, we're told, hurries out of the room. The compassion for his brother grows warm. He's brought to a place to weep, and he enters into his chamber and he weeps until he washes his face. And controlling himself, he then tells the stewards to serve the food. And that's where we see what's set up as the final test. You see the progress that's taking place. The brothers have passed the first rounds of tests. They have come back. They've brought the money. They've brought double the money. They've been honest. They've told the truth. And they've experienced peace and grace. Now they're being brought into the presence of Joseph's own house. Another step in the direction of reconciliation of family. Now Joseph has inquired about their father, the same father. Now Joseph has inquired about the brother, the same brother of them all. But something else needs to be dealt with, a final test that Joseph sets up for them. Remember, he is God's agent to his brothers to help them see their sin and what they did wrong. God has given him special wisdom in giving him those dreams. We've been reminded of that dream again in verse 26 as this last piece is coming together. And now the final question in Joseph's mind is, have my brothers changed? They came back for Simeon, but would they come back for Benjamin? And so when Joseph gives the order to have them served in his house, we continue to see something that has yet to be reconciled. They are separated from one another. You see verse 32, they served him by himself, they served them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. You see, Joseph is continuing to follow the protocol of an Egyptian. There is separation between him and his brothers. They are not yet reconciled. They are not yet as a family would be, even though they are a step closer being drawn into Joseph's house. The second action that Joseph takes is when he sets them at the table. We're told, verse 33, he knows their birth order. They sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And his brothers are amazed that they would know such thing. Who is this that would know such information about us? We're told they're amazed. He's driving them to think of him in such a way that somehow he has knowledge of them that they don't understand. He is setting up for what we will know as comes later when he reveals himself. They will then understand and remember that he is Joseph and that he did know. But finally, in verse 34, we see another key detail, a key part of the final test. Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table. Again, an indication of family from the king's table or the second in command's table to these Hebrews who have come to the land, an indication of closeness, of being drawn together even more. But Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as theirs. Why does he do that? You remember Joseph, when his father gave him a coat of many colors, his brothers were jealous of Joseph. They became so jealous of Joseph and their father's favorite son that they hated him. They wanted to kill him. They threw him in a pit and they sold him off. But how would they treat Benjamin? Benjamin is given 5 times as much as them from Joseph's table. He seems to be to all these brothers as the favorite. Will they treat Benjamin the same way they treated Joseph? And that's the final test that Joseph puts before them to find out what's in their heart. And the last phrase of this chapter leaves us thinking that in the brothers' minds, all again is well. We're told they drank and they were merry with Joseph. They've made peace with Joseph and the Egyptians. The money that was in their sacks, that issue is over. They've experienced that issue from the steward is not an issue anymore. They've got Simeon released from prison and coming home with them. They've got Benjamin now coming home with them back to their father. They're going to bring back food and the two sons back to Jacob. And even though their conscience about what they did to their brother 20 years ago was awakened through all this process, they've managed to go through all this without having to tell the truth to their father of what they really did. Have you ever had a time like that in your life, where something you did or a pattern of sin that you've had is coming to the surface, and you do everything you can to make it seem as if that isn't really the problem, as if it's not really there, as if somehow you can cover the circumstances in such a way that you don't have to share that? As I shared with you at the beginning of this sermon, there are many pastors who shared with me this common problem. People that will come to them for help because they're having problems with their family or their life, and they'll tell you about the surface problems that they're facing or dealing with, and they want help with those things, and then they want you to think that you've helped them and that everything is all better. But problems remain, and problems return. Because there's still something that God needs them to face and to deal with in their life. And like Joseph and his brothers, they soon may find out that God is not done with them. And the agent that God is going to use for his brothers is Joseph. For as we will see in the next chapter, they leave Egypt thinking all is well. They've got Simeon back. They've got Benjamin back. They're going to go back and see their father. They haven't been punished for the money that they brought back. They've got the sons back and the food, and everything is well. But the Egyptians will follow them and find Joseph's silver cup in Benjamin's sack. And they will have to face, what are they going to do with the favorite son of their father, who was given a portion at the table five times as much as theirs? Will they do to Benjamin what they did to Joseph, letting him go back to Egypt and telling their father a lie of what happened to him? But the message of our passage today is for you to recognize that God has called you to dine with him in his house. That God has called you from outside that house to be one who belongs to his family and to his people. That God has sent for you someone far greater, a greater agent than Joseph could ever be to his brothers. That God sent his very son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came as God's agent for you. He didn't just point out the sins of others or even just point out your sins, but he went to the cross to pay for your sin. He called you from sin and darkness. He called you to turn from that sin, from that thing you did long ago, from patterns of sin in your life that need to be addressed, that need to be dealt with, and to put your faith and your trust in him. And with his death and resurrection, he speaks the same words to you that he spoke to the disciples, that the steward said to Joseph's brother, peace be to you. Do not be afraid. For God, the God of your father, has put treasure in your sacks for you. I receive your money. You are free from prison. He has prepared that feast. A feast where you will dine with him in your house, in his house, a house of glory in heaven, a feast in which you, as his people, will eat from his table, a feast in which you will be reconciled with him and all your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But just as our story ended this morning, we recognize as believers that we are still not there. That there is still separation between God and between us. He is in heaven, we are on earth. Yet we've been given portion from the table. For as we gather next Lord's Day in this place, we will partake of a meal, a supper, where our Savior will be present in spirit. A meal which represents a heavenly meal for his people, where someday in heaven they will never hunger nor thirst, but be satisfied in him. And that means that there is still time. Time, perhaps, for the Lord to awaken your conscience to something that yet needs to be dealt with. Time for the Lord to still work in you as he used Joseph to work in his brothers. Time for God to be at work by his grace in leading you to a point to address unresolved issues and to bring it to the Lord and to know His grace and His peace. If you have something in your life that needs to be dealt with, if you have something in your life that the Lord is awakening your conscience to see and to understand, as God worked through Joseph and his brothers to bring it about so it would be made right, God is calling you through these verses to be at work in your hearts to address whatever is there and to make it right before God and before others. Reconciliation, as we see in our scripture reading and in the life of Joseph, is a process. It's not something that always just comes out at once. It's something that sometimes over a lifetime, things slowly come out. Things slowly come to the surface. People have a better understanding of what they've done, and things that have been hurt and others who have been hurt have a better understanding of what's been done. And yet God in His grace brings about that peace. That peace and forgiveness, that wonderful free grace that comes, a grace that they and we are unworthy of, but a grace which is right and which is true. May God prepare you this coming week as we come to the Lord's table, as we partake of the meal. May He draw us unto Him and to a relationship of peace and forgiveness and grace. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning that You have brought us before this very text, a text which reminds us in the lives of Joseph and his brothers about the process that You put Your people to, an awakening of the conscience, an awakening, Lord, of unreconciled issues that sometimes Your people have in Your lives. We pray, Lord, that You help us and bless us, that You would enable us to recognize those things that You may be calling us to address. Lord, that You may give us wisdom and guidance to know how to address them, that, Lord, You would work in our hearts and in the hearts of others, that we may find that peace, that grace that can only come from the truth, and that peace and grace that comes from our Savior. Grant us this wisdom. Grant us an understanding of that marvelous grace. May we live each day in the glory and honor of our Savior. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.